I'm going to talk to you tonight about two fallen disciples, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, Simon Peter, who denied him. And it is by the very mercy and grace of God that you and I are not like Judas or Simon Peter. I want to read to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning at verse 36, and reading into chapter 14, the first three verses. John 13, 36, Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." I think I'll stop right there. May God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this, His most holy and infallible word. Brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place in order that their perception of what I say will be heard as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. Help me to be very, very clear, very, very simple. And let this be a life-changing word and a word that brings great honor and glory to your name. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Sam, for the warm welcome and inviting us back. I love coming here. I don't know how much of it is of the flesh, because Hong Kong is my favorite city in the world, but I think it's more than that. I feel at home, and I felt starting 3 years ago, I should pray for you every day, and I have. And there are people in this room I've prayed for every day for 3 years, and so there's a tie, and so thank you for inviting me. You need to deal with one man back there on about the sixth row. He's got a New York Yankees baseball cap on. Actually, he's my plant. I hate to tell you this about your pastor. He's for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But he's to be forgiven for that. He came. He and I went to see the Yankees play a year or so ago, and I've always been a Yankee fan, and the Dodgers would be the enemies of the Yankees. So how Sam and I became friends, it just shows the miraculous grace of God. Jesus chose 12 disciples. One denied him, one betrayed him. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, remains a mystery. Why did Jesus choose a man that he knew was a devil from the beginning, he knew was a thief, he knew would betray him? And we know that in John 17, 12, Jesus said, "I pray for all except for one, son of perdition, he's called." Why would Jesus choose a man like that? Well, my answer is there are some things we won't fully understand until we get to heaven. But now let's look at Peter. He was without doubt the most colorful of the disciples. What's interesting about Peter, he sincerely thought, if you put him under a lie detector, he sincerely thought that he loved Jesus more than the other 11 combined. He was convinced. He was so sure that he would never deny Jesus. We just read it. Lord, I will give you my life. Well, now, here's the question that we put tonight. Why was Peter forgiven, but not Judas Iscariot? Well, it's one of those things we don't fully understand, and I can give part of the answer tonight, but not the whole answer. Now, I've chosen this because I'm told this is Holy Wednesday. I never knew till now this is a Holy Wednesday. I guess if there is going to be a Holy Wednesday, it would be this week. I've heard of Maundy Thursday. I've heard of Good Friday. I've heard of Easter. Holy Wednesday. So I've done all the research I can, and I find it is sometimes called Spy Wednesday because of Judas Iscariot. This may have been when he was showing his true colors and was going to betray Jesus. And there seems to be some things overlapping, what might have been Wednesday, what might have been Thursday. If Jesus was crucified on Thursday, which some believe, everything falls in place. But because it's supposed to be Friday, we don't know exactly when. But here are some of the events that possibly took place on Wednesday. First, it's all been referred to by the worship leader, and that is the anointing of oil. And it was there that Judas complained. She anointed the feet of Jesus with this oil, expensive oil. Have you ever been around a person who had this most expensive perfume and you could smell it across the room? That is what this was. The aroma just filled the house. And Judas Iscariot began to complain, why wasn't this spent for the poor? He didn't care a thing about the poor, but he was thinking of the value. And Jesus said, well, she's done this to anoint me for my burial. And you may recall that on Easter Sunday, they went to anoint the body, but he wasn't there. He'd already been anointed. Many years ago, I heard one of the greatest sermons that I've ever heard in my life by a man who preached on worship. His name was Joseph Garlington. Ever hear of a Bishop Joseph Garlington? And he made an interesting point that the aroma of the alabaster oil, Jesus could still smell when it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and even when it was on the cross, just to remind him of how he was worshipped and he had those friends that loved him. We know also that this was about the time Judas conspired to betray Jesus. And so he goes to certain Jewish elders and makes a deal with them that he would do it for 30 pieces of silver. It's possible also the Last Supper took place when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. It would be better that he had never been born. Gethsemane, it could have been this day or it may have been Thursday. But that is when in the garden, Jesus hoped to have at least three of his disciples right next to him. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. I am so gripped by this. Jesus went into Gethsemane. He took Peter, James, and John. And after praying, they fell asleep. And he came back and says, couldn't you watch with me for just an hour? Just an hour. And he goes back and prays. And he comes back. They're asleep. And the way the King James Version puts it, he just looked at them and said, sleep on now.
he gave up that he would have at least them with him to go all the way to the crucifixion. But it just showed that he had to go to the cross alone. And he just said, sleep on. There comes a time when you want a friend to be with you, because it's nice to have one other person. And what if that person says, I'm out of here. I can't take it. Paul said to Timothy, his last letter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Demas has forsaken me. And do you know, just 2 or 3 years before, when he wrote his letter to the Colossians, do you know who was with him? Luke and Demas. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, Book of Acts, and Demas. He was one of them. And then, as Paul is waiting any moment for Caesar to come and he would be beheaded, he said, Demas has forsaken me. Paul had to suffer alone. And I wonder if there's anyone here that's been through that. You hope to have somebody with you, just one. But even that person says, I'm sorry. A friend of mine, you've heard me talk about him a lot, Arthur Blessed, when he decided to carry the cross in the Darien jungle in north part of South America, there was this doctor who traveled with him everywhere, but says, no, Arthur, I'm not going with you on this one. And Arthur had to go alone. Sometimes your greatest trial has got to be experienced by yourself, just to see how much you really love God. And that was Jesus. And then he had said to Peter, you're going to deny me. I'm going to tell you, Peter sincerely thought that's not even possible. He had earlier, you know, it's kind of funny, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and so Jesus washes all the disciples' feet, and he comes to Peter, and Peter was trying to sound real pious. He said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You know, he was, and then Jesus said, well, if you don't have any part with him. Oh, then wash my feet and my head. He was going to outdo all the others. Peter thought he loved Jesus more than all of them. And then later on, Jesus actually says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter sincerely thought that is not remotely possible. Well, I want to make some observations about this passage. The first is Judas was a thief before Satan entered him. We know that Satan entered Judas Iscariot. He'd complained about the expense of the anointed perfume. So he was already a thief. You see, when we are not honest, whether it would be with money or sexual temptation or whatever, we give Satan an entry point. So be careful. Satan, your enemy, is always looking for an entry point. And he found it in Judas. It was love of money. We must be careful. The man I was named after, my father's favorite preacher, who was Dr. R.T. Williams. My father named me Robert Tillman, but I've been R.T. all my life. And R.T. Williams would ordain young men to the ministry years ago, and he would give them this caution, young men, beware of 2 things, money, women. Because if there's a scandal connected with either, God may forgive you, but the people won't. And you see, we've got to be careful. That may not be your weakness, but Satan, who has a computer printout on your personality and your doings, because he is out to get you, he's looking for an entry point. Don't give him that. Well, Satan thought, this is interesting, that he was the architect of the whole crucifixion. He did. Satan said, I'm going to see that we get rid of this man. And so he entered Judas Iscariot. And that's what happened. Judas was demon-possessed. How could anybody do what he did unless he had the power of Satan with him? Well, now, a couple of other observations before I get into what I really want to talk to you about. This may or may not interest you, but it's interesting to me. Are you aware of the teaching of annihilation? It's very vogue today for respected evangelicals to deny conscious eternal punishment. And they opt for annihilation. Annihilation, until 50 years ago, was only believed by the cults, like Jehovah's Witnesses. Only the cults believed in annihilation. But somehow it got into evangelicalism. And I've had to face this. You might like to know that one of the reasons that people believe in annihilation is because of the Greek word apolume. Apolume means to destroy. It's the word used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Apolume. Perish. And they take that to mean annihilation. You see, annihilation means to render one non-existent as if he never lived. As if he never lived. That's annihilation. But it's interesting that the word apolume, the noun form is used to translate that word as waste. When Judas Iscariot said, why this waste of money? Apolume wasn't annihilation at all. The alabaster oil was all there intact, but to him it was a waste. And you see, this is the meaning of that word. And conscious eternal punishment. You see, Satan hates this teaching because he knows that is his destiny. And if he can do all he can to turn the church around and bring it to the place that there's no fear of God, that's what he wants to do. You see, Satan knows his final destiny. And what he will do to you and me is to tantalize us or accuse us. He knows our past, and he will get us to focus on the mistakes we made. By the way, the next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. But another interesting thing, and this came to me a year or two after I was at Westminster Chapel during the Lord's Supper. Did you ever notice that Jesus said to the 12 disciples, one of you will betray me, and he says it would be better that he had never been born? That militates against annihilation right there, because Judas Iscariot was who he was talking about, shows that he's not going to be annihilated, because that means as though you weren't born. Well, those are two points I just thought I would drop. But here's the question I want to raise. Why was Peter forgiven and not Judas? Well, some lessons. One is, beware of the love of money. That was Judas's problem. And as we saw, he was a thief. He stole money that was given for the ministry and complained about the expensive oil poured on Jesus. And you probably know that this was a problem with Ananias and Sapphira. A couple years ago, I prepared a sermon just for you. Some of you might remember it. It was on Acts chapter 5, because that's the chapter where we get Solomon's porch. And I brought in the fact of Ananias and Sapphira. You see, they were believers. There's no doubt about it. Some say, oh, they weren't really saved, or they wouldn't do what they did. They were saved. They were part, just like Demas. Paul, Demas, Luke, they were together. These are not counterfeits. And so here it was. Ananias and Sapphira They were believers, but they wanted to be very in. Beware of people who want to be very in. Well, it gives them security. Say, I know Pastor Sam. I know Lisa. I know this person. Well, that was Ananias and Sapphira. But they also wanted to hold on some of the money that they stole. And they thought, well, who's going to know? Who's going to know? And so they bring the money there. And it looked like they had sold everything except for one thing. It was in a revival situation. What do I mean by that? There was such a high level of anointing. I don't think any of us have a clue what that was like. There was such a high level of anointing. This is why John could say in 1 John 2:20, this is epistle toward the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, he says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, you know everything. It's a strange verse. But you see, there was such a high level of anointing. He went on to say, 1 John 2:27, the anointing you have, you don't need that anybody teach you. Well, we need somebody to teach us today. Why come they didn't? What I'm trying to say is, during those days, there was such a high level of anointing. And because of that, Ananias and Sapphira didn't get away with what they did. Probably 50 years later, they could have gone away with it. They get away with it today. People lie all the time. They say things that are not true. They're not struck dead. It's like when Paul said to the Corinthians, you have abused the Lord's Supper because of the way you've neglected the poor. And he says, some of you are sickly, some of you are weak, some dead. God took you to heaven. What? High level of anointing. You see, today people can take the Lord's Supper, and I'm sure thousands of times abuse. Nobody gets sick, weak. They don't die. But when there's a high level of anointing, I say this for this reason. I don't know if you're praying for revival, but beware, you may not want it. Because if you have this high level of anointing, you will have to watch everything because God is aware. And Ananias and Sapphira made a huge mistake. And as soon as they did what they did, Peter picked up on it and said, you just lied to the Holy Spirit. And both of them were struck dead. Well, it shows how, if you're not careful, this point I'm making about having an entry point, beware of the love of money. But here's another thing I want us to see. And that is overestimating your love for Jesus. I thought it was so interesting. The songs chosen tonight, nearly every one of them, we're talking about how much I love you. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. And I could sense everybody here feeling that. Feeling that. So did Peter. Be careful. When you're feeling great love for Jesus, if you're not careful, you will not only overestimate it, but you will underestimate your own frailty. Here's a verse not quoted often. Jeremiah 17:9. You know what Jeremiah 17:9 says? The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You say, R.T., that's Old Testament. It's Old Testament and it's New Testament. If we say we have no sin, 1 John 1:8, we deceive ourselves. Be careful when you're professing your love for Jesus and you are sincere. But if you're not careful, you will overestimate how much you love the Lord. And that's the thing. Peter thought, he sincerely thought that he was a cut above the rest of the disciples. And I wonder if anybody here, if you were totally honest, you think you love the Lord more than that person over there. Boy, they don't love the Lord like I do. Those people over there, I love him. They don't. That was Peter. Oh, that was Peter. He sincerely thought he loved the Lord more than anybody. And that's when Jesus said, well, I think it's time that you hear this, Peter. You don't know yourself. He says, the truth is, you are going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And here's Peter. He can't believe that at all. You know, he knows better than Jesus. That will never happen. That will never happen. But let me point out something about John 13, verse 38, which is at the end of the 13th chapter of John, and John 14, verse 1. Remember this the next time you read it. There were no chapters and verses in the original. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, there weren't even commas, semicolons, full stops, periods. All the letters just ran together. That's just the way it was in the Greek. So the translators have to decide where to put a verse and chapter. And it's good that they did this because it helps us to find our place. But now think for a moment that there's no full stop, no period. And Jesus is saying to Peter, I say to you the truth, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Think about that. Let that grip you. You will deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You think, hey, what's going on here? You see, Jesus knew what Peter was going to do. And he's letting him know in advance, when it happens, I still love you. And this is a word for somebody who feels you've let God down. And he can't love me now. I've so messed up. I'm so sorry. And Jesus knows the end from the beginning. And Peter, he wouldn't have said this to Peter if he hadn't been bragging on himself so much. And Peter needed to be brought down a notch. You're going to deny me. Let not your heart be troubled. In fact, you see, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired you. And then he added, but I have prayed for you. Do you remember that? Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. When you ask the question, why Judas? Why Peter? Well, there comes an unknowable point. We can't figure everything out. It's kind of like Moses when he saw the burning bush. Do you remember? Moses was out on the desert and he sees a bush on fire. And he's seen bushes on fire before. I've been in that very desert in August, and you can't imagine the heat. I'm telling you, it's so 140 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's easy for a brush fire. It's so hot. And so a brush fire was nothing unusual, but Moses keeps looking. There's a bush over there. Why won't it burn up? Why won't it burn up? He says, well, I'm going to find out. So he starts walking. I'm going to figure this out. And Moses is given a word, stop. Don't come any closer. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. There are things in the Bible we're not going to know until we get to heaven. And we say, well, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Why Judas is not forgiven, why Peter is. You think you can figure it out? Stop. Don't try to figure it out. Just worship God. And just be thankful that if you have been granted repentance, it's the goodness of God. And so we're talking now about the mystery of God's sovereignty and foreknowledge. For example, Judas' betrayal was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 13. And we don't know why. Well, look at the contrast between Judas and Peter after they did what they did. You see, with Judas Iscariot, he saw he had really messed up. And he goes back to the elders and say, look, I made a huge mistake. I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? That's your problem. But it was too late. Had Judas repented before the Lord, would he have been forgiven? Yes. Do you feel you've committed an equivalent sin? Well, the answer is, if you feel it now, it's not too late. Judas probably repented only because he got caught. And he was sorry, and he knew he'd messed up. If only he had the humility to go to Jesus and fall at his feet. But you see, sometimes when we mess up, we say, I'll never admit I've made a mistake. Or I will never forgive that person for what they did. And if you're not careful, you dig in your heels because of your pride. That was Judas's problem. You say, well, it was all predestined. It was known in advance. Yes. And let me just say this. Try to remember this line. The difference between what is predestined and what God permits is holy ground. Don't try to figure it out. Burning bush. Stop. Don't come any closer. All I would want to say to anyone here tonight is if you realize how good God has been to you, and if you have messed up in any way, he's come to you in time. You don't need to be Judas. You don't need to be Judas. And so, when Peter did it, and who would have thought he would do it? Three times to a Galilean servant girl. Says, you were one of them. He says, I am not. And then he began to use language he hadn't used in years. Cursing, swearing. This same Peter who hours before said, Lord, I love you so much. My Jesus, I love you. Same Peter. Dear friend, do you not realize that could be you? You see, the great apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in probably 55 AD, he says at the end of chapter 9, Paul said, I keep my body under subjection, lest having preached to others, I myself would be rejected for the prize. You say, well, Paul didn't need to feel that way. He's the great apostle Paul. Oh, he was a man. He knew his weaknesses. He knew his weaknesses. And he wanted to finish well. It wasn't until some 10 years later when he's writing to Timothy. And he says, I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown. You see, he could say it then. He could say it then, but he wouldn't say it. Even Paul, 10 years before. Let us all be like that. When you see the person, whatever mistake they've made, drunkard in the gutter or the most outlandish sin, just remember, there go I, but by the grace of God. Because God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And so if tonight somebody needs this, instead of saying, I don't need this, I love the Lord, he knows I love him, be very careful. It doesn't need to happen, what happened to these people we're talking about tonight. And so, the question, have you let the Lord down? Sorry because you got found out, or sorry because you denied the one you love? Well, thank God for Jesus' statement to Peter. I have prayed for you. It was the intercession of Jesus that saved Peter. And Hebrews 7:25, Those that come to God at the right hand of God is our intercessor, Jesus, who gives an intercessory prayer for those that love him. Hebrews 7:25, Jesus is your intercessor. And so, Jesus knew in advance what Peter could do, and Peter could never take any credit for his repentance. Well, so wonderful. On Easter Sunday, Peter was singled out by one of the angels and says, go to Galilee and tell Peter. You see, he was still loved. And if you've let the Lord down, you were ashamed, you maybe didn't witness as you should, you had a chance to lead a person to Christ, and you didn't. And I could go on and on. And this is not a sermon to make anybody feel guilty. No, very opposite. If on this Holy Wednesday, whatever you call it, God would use this word to say, oh, RT, I needed that. And here's the most wonderful thing of all. Imagine if you were buying stock in the Peter Corporation and say, here's the wave of the future. You knew Peter. He's the one that says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, I will put my money on Peter. Here's the Peter who was always there. And now he says, Lord, I will follow you to the end. And then a Galilean servant girl says, you are one of those. He says, I'm not. Come here. Your accent betrays you. You were one of them. I am not. Did it a third time. And that moment, the rooster crowed. Jesus heard it. Peter heard it. And Jesus and Peter fastened eyes on each other. Peter went out and wept bitterly. He didn't think it could happen to him. And if you were putting money in the Peter Corporation as the wave of the future, how many of you would be willing to say 6 weeks later, Peter would be preaching the inaugural sermon on the day of Pentecost? Imagine Peter preaching after what he just did. And you may think, God can't use me now. Wrong. Tell you a story. I just thought of this right now. One Sunday morning at Westminster Chapel, about 5 minutes before I went out the door where our flat was, 5 minute walk from Westminster Chapel, Louise and I got into an argument. I mean, 5 minutes before. And I was so angry. I promise you, I slammed the door, walked out to the lift elevator, go down, walk over to the chapel, and the next thing I know it, I'm walking up to the pulpit, and the first thing you do when you get to the pulpit, you sit in the chair, and you bow your head something like this, looking real pious. I thought, if those people knew that 35 minutes ago, I shouted at Louise, slammed the door, and I thought, here's what I was saying. Lord, I don't see how you can bless me today. I am so sorry. And the funny thing is, Louise didn't come in to church until maybe she's 15 minutes late, and I kept thinking, maybe she's not going to come. She came. And then I thought, if I could only send a signal, and I was trying to look down, and she wouldn't even look up at me. And I was thinking, Lord, please have her look. I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. But she didn't even look. And then I thought, well, the church secretary, Mr. Patton, who gives the notices, I could give him a note, and he could take it to her, but I thought, well, he might read it. I don't want that. She wouldn't look at me. I thought, when I stand up to preach today, I will be a failure and a total flop. Guess what? When I preached that morning, I had the most power I had had in years. Really? I couldn't believe it. I had such freedom and liberty and power. Guess why? I can tell you why. There was not an ounce of self-righteousness in me. I knew I was nothing. And that's why God could use me. And I think that's why God could use Peter on the day of Pentecost. He knew of all the people on the planet, he's the least worthy to be standing there preaching to these people. And 3,000 were converted. Thank God. I don't think there's a Judas Iscariot in this room, but there could be some Simon Peters. You say, I would never do that. I would never fall. Be careful. And you know that you don't deserve his goodness and mercy. So, Jesus is saying to you, you have denied me, but I've prayed for you. You have denied me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe God? Believe me. Because we are loved with an everlasting love. And when we get to heaven, we'll be conscious that we don't deserve to be there. It's all by the sheer grace of God. I just remembered another thing. I guess it's good to preach in jet lag because you don't know what you're saying. I was called one day by 10 Downing Street, and the man said, would you like to meet the Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher? I said, yeah. He said, well, there's going to be a convention Royal Albert Hall, be 7,000 lawyers from America, and they've asked the Prime Minister to address them, and they've asked for somebody to pray. Well, they don't get requests like that in Britain. Nobody prays for these events, but somehow my name came up and said, if you agree to pray, you can come 15 minutes early and spend time with the Prime Minister. Well, it was a wonderful moment. I actually did. I never will forget. I said, Prime Minister, no priest, rabbi, minister in London admires you more or likes you more than I do. She said, let's do sit down and talk. I had her vote. But after time with her, guess what happened next? I promise you. In comes the Vice President of the United States, Walter Mondale, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Warren Burger, and the Ambassador to St. James Court, I don't remember his name, these three people, and all they did was say, nice to meet you, Prime Minister. That was it. I'd been talking to her alone. They just get to shake her hand. And then someone says, well, we're going to have a group photograph. Oh, I thought, I know my place, so I get away from everybody. Oh, Dr. Kendall, we want you. You want me? Here, Prime Minister, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Vice President of the United States. I thought, well, okay, I go up and stand there, and I remember going, I felt like a fraud. But I was invited. I didn't deserve that. And so when we get to heaven, we'll all be aware. We'll look at each other and say, huh, didn't expect to see you here. You know, Martin Luther said he expected three surprises in heaven. Be people there he didn't think would be there. It'd be people missing that he thought would be there. The greatest surprise of all, said Luther, that I'm there myself. And we're all amazed. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones used to say, the Christian is a person who is surprised that is the Christian. You will deny me, but I prayed for you. Let not your heart be troubled. We're loved with an everlasting love. Heavenly Father, take this word, apply it by your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And let's just respond to, it's really a powerful message. Let's just spend a moment, let's close our eyes and just go before the Lord. Maybe there's many of you here that feel like failures when it comes to faith. You know, we could always pray more and read more and witness more and serve more. We realize tonight it's not about the more. You know, one of the greatest truths that really led me to be a Christian myself was so simple. It says, He loves me just the way that I am. But the other truth is also very real, that He loves me too much to leave me that way. And as the worship team leads us, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You feel like you've let God down? You haven't. He gives you another chance right now. It just simply starts with a prayer. So Pastor Nate, why don't you lead us, and let's just all humbly come before the Lord. And let's be more like Peter than Judas.
Come, Thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise a mountain fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by Seal it for thy course of.
Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy course of.
Keep our eyes closed, and we want to minister to you tonight. And if you're in a place and maybe you really resonated with what RT had to say to us tonight, we just want to just come alongside the work of the Spirit that's already happening inside of you and just pray with you tonight. And so you're going to have to help us out a little bit amongst this crowd. And so if that's where you're at, can I just invite you to come up to the front and just find some real estate here, just find some place. And you can go on your knees, you can stand. It doesn't really matter what posture you take. But it's a way of just saying, you know, I wouldn't mind getting some prayer today. And then we just like to just minister to you a bit. The worship team will continue to lead us in song. I want to encourage you as you make your way out that there's a book table and you can buy a book at a very good price. And then tomorrow actually is a whole other shipment. Four other books are coming. And so you can feel free to do that. But tonight, I'll just close this in prayer, and let's just spend this time just to come before the Lord. No? Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, we thank you for the word, Lord, and thank you, God, that you still pray for us, God. Or the scripture tell us, Lord, that you're seated at the right hand making intercession for us, Lord. You've never stopped praying for us, God. You never stopped caring for us, Lord. That even when we're faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. And so we thank you for your character, for your love, especially what this week represents, God. Lord, you loved us so much that you went to the cross to die for our sins. And so we just come humbly before you, God, and say, Lord, we're not going to give up, God. No matter how many times we fall down, Lord, a righteous man falls seven times, yet rises again. And so we want to rise again, God, with your help. So come, Holy Spirit, and just breathe, God, over our friends that come to this place to pray, Lord. And we ask a blessing for all of us, God, as we leave this place and as we continue to sanctify ourselves, God, throughout this week, Lord, Thursday, as we come to Good Friday service, Lord, and we come to the cross fresh once again. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want to receive some prayer, please make your way to the front. We'll pray for you. If you want to stick around and worship, you can do that. You can be dismissed and go see your kids and all those wonderful things. God bless you.